Shalom to all. Today's Avos Cholon Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We are starting by the end of the eighth line with the word Meisvei. And today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Sarbas Biyakam Moshe Hernish Shamosh and Avin Olia. So we're just discussing Chelev and Chalav, forbidden fats being cooked with milk. Is that an Isser Basar B'Chalav? According to the Tzad, that it's not. That's because we say Ein Isser Chal Isser. We can't tack one Isser onto an already existing one. And since Chelev is already Asser, we can't say that now there's an Isser of Basar B'Chalav to cook milk with Chelev. So now the Gemara says Meisvei. We have a brass that says Hamvashal B'Meichalav Pater. If a person cooks meat with Meichal, love, that's literally translated as the water of milk. The proper way to say this is whey, that's W-H-E-Y. This is basically the liquidy part of milk that's separated during the cheese making process. So if somebody cooks in whey, he's putter, because that's not considered milk. And also dam shebishlo b'chalav putter. If a person cooks blood in milk, he's putter. That's not considered meat. Now at some ways, bones va'gidim and sinews va'karnayim and horns va'talfayim and hooves shebishlo b'chalav, those were cooked in milk, putter, he's putter. Now pigal va'nois ra'tame, this is all kad shemit. That's problematic for one reason or another. Shebishlo b'chalav, that was cooked in milk, he's chai for that, and so we see that Isser Chal Isser, Pigel is Asser, Nicer is Asser, Tommy is Asser, still there's a Chiyu Basar B'Chalav there, so we see that Isser Chal Isser answers the Gemara, no problem. Hai Tana Savar, Isser Chal Isser. This Tana holds Isser Chal Isser, whereas previous Tanaim, and we actually have quite an extensive machlaikas about this, as we not only had yesterday, we also had previously in the Masechta, there's a big machlaikas, do we say Isser Chal Isser, and therefore this Tana holds Isser Chal Isser, and that's not a question on the other ones that do not hold Isser Chal Isser. Now we can discuss this point that we just mentioned, Hamavashal B'Chalav Pater, somebody cooks meat in way he's potter, it's not a basar chalav. Is right for shlokish that now we have mishnah mei chalav harein kechalav. Mei chalav, this way is just like milk itself. Now specifically in regards to machshirei eichlin, we know that in order for food to be able to become tame when it's touched by something tame, it first has to be mochshir lekabel toma, made susceptible to mekabel toma, and that's when it's touched by one of the seven halachic liquids. Milk is one of them. So this mishnah is telling us that mei chalav, the way, this watery byproduct that's separated during the cheese making process, that's just like milk in regards to machshirei eichlin, and also a meichal, the liquidy part of olives that oozes out of them when they're all sitting in the vat before they're actually squeezed into olive oil, hareo kishemen, that's just like olive oil itself, and that's also machshel kabel toma. Now, Rish Lakesh, lo hishanu, this is only taught, el lahachshir zazrayim, that's only legabe machshiri eichlin, to be machshir seeds and other foods. Avol inyin bishel basar b'chalav, but in regards to cooking basar b'chalav, mechalav einin kechalav, this way is not considered like chalav. And now the Gemara gets into extensive discussion regarding our psukim that we've had previously, of lo yisvashu gadiba chalevi mai, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk, and what we learn out of these psukim. And even though we've already had a member from Shmuel and other members as well, here we continue with more members. So we begin, Tanarbon, we have a braisa, the pasuk tells us, b'chalevi mai, in its mother's milk. I only know it's usher to cook it in its mother's milk. How do I know it's usher to cook a goat in the milk of a cow or a female sheep? That's Rachel. We already mentioned that official word for that is a U-E-W-E. So how do we know it's usher to cook a goat in para or Rachel? The answer is Amr Kalvachomer. You'd say a simple Kalvachomer. Just like its mother, it's not usher to mate with it. A female goat is allowed to be mated with a male goat. There's no issue over there. Nesrim b'shuloi, but it's also to be cooked together. While par v'rachel shen nesrim barba, a cow or ewe, they're not allowed to be mated together with a goat because that's a separate min. In addition, nesrim b'shuloi, shouldn't we say for sure that it's also to cook meat from one min and milk from the other min? And then from Tamalim, we have a pasuk b'chalev imai in its mother's milk, and that tells us that you're not allowed to cook a goat in milk from a different min. Something we're asked a pretty obvious question. V'halamali kro, what do we need this pasuk for? B'chalev imai ha asulei, we just brought it from a great kavul. Why do you need to say, oh, we have a pasuk? We just had a wonderful kavul chaymer. So Rav Ashi clarifies, Mishum de'iklam meimar may kardina pircha, because we still could say that from the very beginning of this din, of this kavul chaymer, I have a question, meaning from the very source of the kavul chaymer, there's a problem. Because mehecha kamaisus law, where's the kavul chaymer being brought from? May imai, from its mother. Well, if that's the case, I could say that mahal imai shekein nesr imai b'shchita. There's an issue that it's not to be shechted with its mother. We know that there's an isra min ha-Torah that a child is not to be shechted on the same day as its mother. That's the isra of Isai b'as b'nai. How could you say the same applies to a cow, that there's no iser to shecht it on the same day as a goat, and so therefore the kavul chaymer is no good? So Tamal Emre, that's why the Braisa had to also bring the pasuk b'chalev imai. So the second time it says that tells us no cooking a goat in milk of a different man, either cow or sheep's milk. And Tanya Yedekhu, have another Braisa, and it's a point to point out over here that even though initially Rashi explains this whole upcoming Gemara, which we're going to see, is going to ask a question about a chayse gedayla and a chayse ketana, a older sister and a younger sister. The first Rashi explains the older sister is referring to a cow and the younger sister is referring to the Rachel, the female sheep. Afterwards, Rashi ends up asking a number of questions on that Pirish, and on Amud Beis, he quotes somebody named Rav Yosef Toiv Elam or Elam and gives a totally different Pirish, which is how we're going to be explaining it right now. So as it tells us, b'chalev imai, in its mother's milk. What do we learn from here? Ainli ela b'chalev imai, I only know it's in its mother's milk. B'chalev achoyse g'dayla minayin, how do we know that we're not allowed to cook a goat in its older sister's milk? And we're literally understanding this referring to the goat's older older sisters, how do we know it's sister cooking that milk? And the answer is Amrit Kalvachimer. You would say Kalvachimer. Ma imo shenichsa imo ledirlis aser, just like its mother, is able to be put in the same pen as it for Meiser Behema. We know that every year a person has to take Meiser Behema off of all the new animals that were born to them that year, so the mother's allowed to be with its child. Nasser Imam Bishol is also to cook with its mother also. Well, Achaisai, its sister, the older one, Shalonichsa imo ledirlis aser, it's not able to be put into the same pen to be Meiser together because the sister is from a different year of birth. Shouldn't we say for sure it's not allowed to be cooked with his sister? As a Tamalim, we have a pasuk b'chalei v'imai in its mother's milk, telling us that it's also to cook it in the milk of its older sister. So here we ask the very same question we asked before of halam likra. What do we need a pasuk for? Ha'asyale, we just brought a great kavul chaimer. Rashi clarifies mishum deklamir meikar dinu pircha, because here too we're able to say that from the very beginning of this kavul chaimer there's a question, because mehecha kamaisis law, where's the kavul chaimer being brought from? Me'imai, from its mother. Well, I could say that mala imai shekein nesra im b'shchita. We see a chumra by the mother that it's not to be shechted on the same day as its mother. Well, term by chaisa gdela, or you say the same applies by its older sister, shalai nesra im b'shchita. It's not also to shecht it together with its sisters, and therefore, because we have this issue from the very beginning of Kalvachaymar, time of Leymar, that's where the brides brought the pasuk, b'chalev imai. This is the third time the Torah says it. It's not to be cooked in its mother's milk, telling us it's also not to be cooked in its older sister's milk. Now the brides continues, ashkana chaisa gdela, we have a great source for its older sister, it can't be cooked in its milk, where chaisa ketani minayin, what about its younger sister? How do you know it's not to be cooked in its milk? And the answer is, asum b'nayo, let's bring it from a combination of the previous two things we just mentioned. And the reason why we need both of these is as follows. Mehe tesi. Which individual one would you bring it from? Tesi me imai. You want to bring the kavchemer just from its mother? Well, I'll tell you the mala imai shekein nesra im b'shchita. Its mother is different. Then it's not going to be shechted with it. So you're going to say, that its older sister will prove that it doesn't make a difference. That even though it's allowed to be shechted with its older sister, still it's not allowed to be cooked in its older sister's milk. And that's because of our pasuk that we just had previously. Well, I'll tell you, you can't learn exclusively from a chesed gdeila either, because mala chesed gdeila shalai nechsa imai delis aser. Its older sister is different because it's not put in the same pen for Meiser Behema purposes. So you can say, fine, imay techiach, go back to its mother where it is put in the same pen for Meiser purposes and it's not to be cooked in its mother's milk. Evachazer din, we go back making a circle because we can't learn from imay either. As we just said before, it's not to be shechted in the same day as its mother. This is not like that, that's not like this. But at Hashav Shabahen, what's the common denominator between them? Shehu basar, really the gear says shehu chalav, because that's what we're talking about. The key is really the milk. And also the vashal bai, that's really the better gear, so it's usher to cook in this particular milk that we're referring to, either the mother or the older sister. Afani aviyachay seketana. So we also bring its younger sister, shehu chalav, that it's milk. Again, that would be the proper girsa of asr l'vashal bay, and it's asr to cook in its younger sister's milk. And that's why when we're learning the isser of cooking a goat in its younger sister's milk, we have to bring that as a limud based off the combination between its mother and older sister. Ask the Gemara, hachi, if that's so, if we have this great combo that could teach us this, then achay sekedel nami tesim benaya, even older sister could be learned from a combination. The combination would be that there's an isser of cooking in its mother's milk, and there's an isser of cooking it in the milk of a cow or a sheep. And those two together could teach us achaysa gedayla. What do we need a separate pasuk for achaysa gedayla? And the Gemara says, you're right, and echanami. That's 100% valid limud. So if we're back to the drawing board, elab chalev imai lamali, so what do we need this other mention of chalev imai for? The answer is, b'ayle chetanya, we need it for a different braisa. B'chalev imai, ainli elab chalev imai, when it says b'chalev imai in the pasuk, I know it's talking about its mother's milk. Book of Yudan on base on top, he atzma b'chalav aminayin. How do I know that the mother itself is not allowed to be cooked in its own milk? Let's say you milk the mother, then you shechted it, and now you're taking the mother's meat with its very own milk. How do you know that's an isser? And to that initially, Amrit, you'd say, kavachaymer, kavachaymer, umma b'makam shaloi nesar pri and pri b'shchita. Just like in a place where there's no isser to shecht the pri with the pri. Pri can either literally mean fruit, or can be translated in general sense as produce. Over here, the produce would be referring to the offspring of the mother, meaning two children of the same mother. They're allowed to be shechted on the same day, nesar pri and b'shchita, but the pri is allowed to be shechted with the mother, as we just said a number of times in Amud Aleph, that the child's allowed to be shechted on the same day as the mother, while makam shenesar pri and pri b'bishol, in the case where the pri is allowed to be cooked together with the pri, because the goat is not allowed to be cooked in its sister's milk, that's pri and pri with cooking, ain't it in shenesar pri and b'bishol? Shouldn't we say for sure that the pri with the mother is not allowed to be cooked together, meaning the mother with her own pri? Her milk is not allowed to be cooked in her meat. And so therefore, tabalem b'chalev imai, that's why we have this third pasuk of b'chalev imai that tells us, you're right, the mother is not to be cooked in its own milk. And yet, once again, we have the same question. Halam alikra. What do we need the pasuk for? Ha'asila. We just had a great kal v'chaymer. There's no need to bring a pasuk for this. So Rav Chadav Ba'armi, he answers, Mishum de'ikl meymar. That's because we could always ask on this kal v'chaymer. Now, before we get into the question that we can ask on the kal v'chaymer, we're going to be going through a number of different possibilities of what the question on the kal v'chaymer could be. And just bear in mind that we're going to keep on using this term pri as referring to the product of something. It could be either offspring as in animals, or it could be fruit or something like that. So just keep that in mind. mind. So what's the first attempted question on this Kal V'chomer? The Ikel Meimar, we could say, says Rechad Bar Ami, that Sus ben Susya achi pirda yechiach, a male horse, the son of a female horse, who's the brother of a female mule, he will prove that our Kal V'chomer is not correct. She'asr pri and pri, because the pri is also with a pri. Namely, this male horse, he's a pri, he's on to be mated with a female mule, that's called kelayim, but umoter pri ma'aim, the pri is allowed to be mated with the mother, meaning a male horse is allowed to be mated with a female horse, that's perfectly fine. So we see this original Kal V'chomer is not valid, that even though pri and pri is usser, pri with aim is mutter. And that's what we need a pasuk for. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a good question on the Kal V'chomer, because hasam zero avhu de kagarim. Over there, when we're talking about mating different animals with each other, that's just because it's the father's zera which causes the issue. Nothing to do with pri or aim. And how do we see that? Daha perid ben susya, what about a male mule, son of a female horse, achi pirda, who's the brother of a female mule, yechiach, this will prove that we're saying is not true, shemutter pri and pri, over here the two offsprings are permitted to mate with each other because they're both mules. Vaser pri ma'aim, but the pri is usher with the aim, a male mule is usher to be mated with a female horse. So this is not a valid question on the Kal V'chomer. El Aram Marbrei Ravina, he answers differently. Mishum Tekel Meimer, that's because we could ask the following question. Eved ben Shivcha, achi mishuchreres yechiach. An Eved, which is a male slave, he's the son of a Shivcha, which is a female slave, and he's the brother of a mishuchreres, meaning his sister, who was a maidservant, she now is freed, and she's a 100% Jewish woman. He proves this wrong. Why is that? She'asr pri and pri, the pri is usher with the pri, the male slave is not to be married to his sister, because his sister is considered 100% Jew, and she's not a slave anymore, but umotar pri ma'aim. The pri is mutter with the aim, because a eved is allowed to marry a shivcha, which is what his mother is. That's once again a pirach on the Kal V'chomer. Says Gemara, no, that's also not a question, because hasam get shichur hu de kagarim. Over there, it has nothing to do with pri or aim. It simply has to do with the get shichur, the document that set one of these avadim free. That's really what causes the issue here. How do we know that? Daha eved ben mishuchreres achi shivcha yechiach. An eved who's the son of a mishuchreres, meaning his mother was already freed, and he's the brother of a shivcha who was not yet freed, which is basically the opposite of the previous case. That proves that what I was saying is correct. Shemutter pri and pri. Over here, the pri is mutter with a pri. The eved is mutter with the sister, meaning the two pris would be permitted because he's an eved and she's a shivcha. But va'asr pri ma'aim, he would be asr with a min of his mother because his mother is a mishuchras. She's already freed. So it has nothing to do with pri or aim. It has to do with the get shechur. Elam ravid ravin. Here's a third attempted question against the original Kal V'chomer. What would it be? Mishum de'ikal mimra. That's because we could say, kile zroim yechichu, forbidden mixtures of plants and seeds, that will prove. She'asr pri and pri. Pri and pri is asr, but umutter pri ma'aim. Pri is mutter with the aim. Over here, it's interesting. What's the aim? What's the mother when we're talking about planting? So the ground is considered the aim. And therefore, we see that pri and pri is asr. You're not allowed to plant two different species together, but you are allowed to plant pri with aim. You're allowed to take any species you want and plant it in the ground by itself. So Gemara says, no, that's not a question. Kolom nesar pri and pri, el al yedei ha'aim. Isn't the only reason why pri and pri are asr over here? It's because there's an aim, there's a mother, there's a ground to plant them in. And the way you see that's true is because the hachiti v'sari b'kado v'loy mitzru. If a person decides to place wheat and barley in the same pitcher, in the same jug, he wants to store them in the cabinet together, that's not a problem, that's not usr. The whole isser of kilayim is placing wheat and barley, for example, in the ground, planting them together. So that's also not a question on the original Kal V'chomer. We're still trying to figure out why is it that we need the pasuk. Elom Ravashi. Ravashi says, mishum de'ikal mim, because we could always say the mala pri and pri shekein shnei gufim. It could be the reason why the pri is usr with a pri, meaning the gedi is usr with, let's say, milk from its older sister. That's because it's two separate gufim, two separate bodies. But tamar pri ma'aim, are you going to say it's the same thing with the pri with its mother, meaning the mother with milk that came from it itself? Shekein guf echad, that's one guf, that's the mother and its milk. There isn't necessarily enough strength over here to usr that. Mishum hachi is shechra, that's why we need the pasuk at the end of the day. And that concludes that discussion. Now we've gone to another one. Amar Vashi Rashi says, minay lebasar b'chalav she'asr b'achila. How do we know it's usr to eat basar b'chalav? It says in the pasuk, lo sevashal gedi b'chalav imay. So how do we know it's not just cooking, that also eating is usr? That's because shenamar, the pasuk says, lo soichal kol toyeva. Don't eat anything that's considered an abomination. And what do we learn from here? Kol she'ta'av tilecha, anything that I've made an abomination for you, meaning that I've told you that this thing is no good, harehu bal toichal, that also has an isr of eating. And since Hashem was ta'av for us, he made cooking meat and milk an abomination for us, so mamela, it's also usr to eat. Now, va'in li'el b'chila, I only know from here that it's usr to eat it. Ba'anami 9, how do we know it's usr to benefit from cooked meat and milk? And the answer is Ravo, like Ravo says, don't Ravo, I'm Rav Lazar. Ravo says name Rav Lazar. Komakum shnemar lo yoichal, lo soichal, lo soichlu. Anytime the pasuk says shall not be eaten, you shall not eat singular, or you shall not eat in the plural sense. Echad isra achila v'echad isra hana b'mashma. This is mashma both in isra achila and also in isra of benefiting from it. Ad shivrocha kosev without shapar lecha b'nevela, until the pasuk specifies for you like it specifies by nevela, meaning nevela is a unique situation. Even though you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're still allowed to benefit from it. But besides for that, any other time it just says regular achila, don't eat it. That means don't eat it and don't benefit from it. Now we just get into the discussion regarding nevela. What does it say by nevela specifically? Leger b'nesino ulav gachavim b'mechira. You could give nevela to a ger. Now this does not mean a regular convert, because that's 100% yid who's definitely not allowed to eat nevela. It's referring to someone called a ger taishav who accepted upon himself not to serve avodah zarah and maybe some other things as well. So even though he's a non-Jew, he's still allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the ger we're referring to. You're allowed to give him nevela, and a non-Jew, you're allowed to sell him nevela. And how do we know? It's because we have a brisa. The pasuk tells us lo yisachul kan nevela lager shav sharecha titnenu v'achala oy machar lenachri. Don't eat any nevela. To the ger who lives in your gates, you shall give it to him and he will eat it. Or, I, machar lenachri, you could sell it to a non-Jew. And we just had this pasuk, ainli el ger b'nesino lo avikacham b'mechira. I would only know that you're allowed to give it to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew. Now, ger b'mechira minayin, how do you know you're allowed to sell it to a ger if you wanted to? So, tamlemer, to that, the pasuk tells us, meaning this would be another way to read the pasuk, la ger titnena, I machar, period. You could give it to a ger or sell it. In other words, instead of reading it as, I machar lenachri, you just read it, I machar, and then make a period right there, and that means you could either give it or sell it to a ger. And also, how do we know that if you wanted to give it to a non-Jew, you could do so and you don't have to sell it to him? So tamalem to that, we also read the pasuk slightly differently. Titnena aymachar lenachri. You could give it or sell it to the non-Jew. I mean, instead of reading the word titnena like we originally did as being connected to the word ger, we read it kilo as if it's the beginning of a brand new sentence. Titnena aymachar lenachri. Nimz, it turns out, echad ger ve'echad avi kachavim, bein b'mechira, bein b'nesina, that whether we're talking about a ger or a non-Jew, you could either sell it or give it to him. That's all fair game. It's perfectly fine. Divra Meretz or Meretz's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, no, Divra Chsavam, everything is exactly as it's written. La ger b'nesino, la v'kachavim b'machira. You have to either give it to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew. You can't do either or to both of them. Now, the question is, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that? And the answer is, Isak Dachil Amar Rav Meir, if you would think that's like Rav Meir explained it, well, then Lich Rechmana, all the Torah should have written is, lo yisaychul kol nevela, la ger shabasharecha titnena v'achala, umechar, that to the ger that lives in your gates, you shall give it and he will eat it and sell it. Umechar. Oi, lamali. Why does the pasuk say the word oi? Or you could do so. Shema minola dvar mechasam hu da'asa. It's clear the pasuk is coming to tell us literally exactly as it's written, la ger b'nesina ulai kachavim b'mechira, that you could only either give it to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew, and you're not allowed to mix and match. Now, Rav Meir Amalachar, Rav Meir would respond to that, hi, oi, the only reason the pasuk uses the word oi is la hakdim b'nesina de ger l'mechira da'v kachavim. It's just to emphasize that if you have two different options, either give this meat to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew, so you should be Makdim, you should first give it to the ger. That's your first option. And only then your second option should be you could sell it to a non-Jew. And that's why the word ay is there to split them up. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he would respond that no, l'haktim nesini de ger l'mechir de kachavim l'tzar chra. The fact that if you had this option, you should first give it to a ger before selling it to a non-Jew, that doesn't even need a pasuk to tell us that. Why? Svarahu. It's logical. What's the logic? This one, a ger, you have a chiyuv to help him live. The pasuk tells us that you should help a ger live. You should help support him and make sure he has food and sustenance. Whereas in regards to Rav Kachavim, there's no pasuk that says that you have a chiyuv to help him live. And that's why if you have an option to give it to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew, it's obvious you should give it to a ger. We don't even know pasuk for that. That's why we would understand this pasuk literally, that you're actually not allowed to give it to the non-Jew. You would have to sell it to him if you wanted to. Bottom line, going back to what started this whole discussion, remember Rav Ashi had asked, how do we know that basar b'chalav is not only asr to cook, but it's also asr to eat? That's because anytime the pasuk says that something's a toyeva for you, it's an abomination. Not only is it asr, but it's also asr to eat. And in regards to anah, that's because anytime the pasuk says don't eat something, it's also asr to benefit from. And we're talking for the day, but pick up tomorrow with a whole bunch of questions on this. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.